Hi, Chris Ballatin here. Welcome to my podcast, where I hope to inspire you to transform the world within you and transform the world around you. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Are you a senior executive desiring to connect with other like-minded leaders? I want to invite you to join me for the inaugural Regents Summit, a premier two-day business event. This summit will be limited to 50 executives ready to discover strategies for both personal and corporate spiritual development and tools that will redefine your personal success. My team and I have meticulously designed every aspect from breakfast on the Sundial Bridge to special guest speakers and activations to develop you and foster deep connections. The Regents Summit will take place at the Sheraton in Redding, California on May 23rd and 24th. To express interest, visit chrisvalatin.com/Regents Summit. I hope to see you there. Hi, welcome to Cultural Catalyst, where we teach you how to live fully live, co-labor with Jesus, and change the world. I'm your host, Chris Ballatin, and today I think I have the most interesting guest I've ever had on. This is Ross Johnson.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on. And you have the most interesting story. Maybe one of the most interesting stories I've ever heard in my life. You grew up in a home where you have basically two moms.
Correct.
And your mom got artificial stimulation. Is that how you say it?
Artificially inseminated.
Yeah. And you were born, but you're like a test tube child.
That is correct.
You don't have a dad, never had a dad. And you grew up in a gay household.
Yeah.
With basically two moms. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy interesting story.
Yeah.
And then at 15, you got saved. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. Like, what was that like?
Well, I mean, it starts on day one, right? My mom, you know, one day she decided I want to have a child. And since she was living a lesbian lifestyle, so my mom opens the phone book and she finds a lab. She walks in. She says, hey, I want to have a child. They give her a list of 10 different men. They give her characteristics, hair color, height, weight, age.
Seriously.
And she chooses one. And 9 months later, here I am. And so that's how I was born.
And how long was it before you realized, like, what age did you realize that, hey, other people have dads, I have two moms.
Yeah.
Like, how old were you when you kind of realized, like, oh, most of the world doesn't live like this?
Yeah, well, for me, it was just normal. So I didn't know anything different. But then when I would look at my friends' lives, I was like, well, they don't have two moms. They don't have two dads. But for some reason, I have two moms, right?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't this dialogue I had. It was just kind of like I accepted it. It was my normal life. It was my normal flow. But then obviously, as I began to get older, I was like, well, this isn't how everybody else lives. And thankfully, like you said, at 15, I got saved, which obviously absolutely transformed my whole life, my thought process, my mind, every part of who I was.
Was your mom going to church? Or I mean, how did you encounter Jesus?
Yeah, a friend invited me to church. It was her and her grandma. They'd go every Sunday. And I don't know what got into them. I knew them for years. And then one week, they're like, Ross, you want to go to church? And I'm thinking, I got nothing to lose. And so I show up at the Sunday service. I'm sitting in the back row. I always say like this, I'm like, God will get you in the back row.
Exactly.
Right? So I'm sitting in the back row. Yeah. And for the first time in my life, I felt hope. I felt joy. I felt destiny. I felt like I had a purpose. And so I go home that night and I'm sitting there in my room and I'm like, if what that preacher said is real, you know, keep in mind, I never had a conversation with God. I never had a dialogue with God.
Was your mom like anti-church or anti-religion or any, like, was there ever conversations about like those guys are like off limits?
Well, I was 15. So guess who had to drive me to church?
My mom.
So she would drive me to church, go back home, come pick me up, and then take me back. She didn't engage in it. She didn't talk about it. She didn't really want to have a conversation, but she loved me so much and supported me so much that she was willing to do that.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So to this day, at this point, as far as you know, your mom doesn't have a relationship with the Lord.
Correct.
And still lives the gay lifestyle with the basically same woman, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. So you get saved. You get radically saved.
Yeah.
And Now you're reading the Bible and you're seeing like, ooh, homosexuality is not just another lifestyle. It's actually forbidden in the Bible.
Yeah.
So how do you relate to that?
Well, let's actually backtrack a little bit. Before, like right when I first got saved, the best language I have for this, it's like I knew that all this was right. I knew what was wrong and what was right, but I just didn't have the language for it. So when I heard the gospel and then the Holy Spirit filled me, it wasn't like this dialogue or this competition, like, I got to choose this, I got to choose that. I'm like, no, this is the design of God. this is the will of God, this isn't. So for me, it was less of like a conversation mm-hmm. and more so I kind of already knew and I just needed the Holy Spirit to confirm that to me, which he did.
And have you ever had a conversation with your mom about like that?
Yeah. So my mom, when I have conversations about Jesus, it's a really interesting thing. She won't come to any gathering of mine because she knows she'll get saved, right? But outside of that, when I have conversations, you know, about Jesus with my mom.
This is the funniest, like, you know, I'm sorry. This interview is like so intriguing because you're just such a healthy person.
Yeah.
And grew up, you know, in something that I would view as like one of the most unhealthy, mm-hmm. is probably not from, I grew up in violence, so not that kind of unhealthy, but just the sexually unhealthy kind of situation. So so finish your story. Sorry to keep interrupting you.
Oh, no worries. I mean, when I have these conversations with my mom, it's like she's engaged because she loves me and she supports me, but you can tell there's like this barrier or there's a limit.
She's a good mom.
Yeah, she's a great mom. She's loved me to death. I've always made that so clear. I'm like, my mom would probably give her life for me, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, she loves me that much. She's one of my financial donors. She'll text me before I preach, go get him, son. I'm like, who is this? You know, who is this? It's my mom. She loves me that much.
Your mom's going to be a radical evangelist.
Exactly.
When she finds
Christ. I just asked her 2 weeks ago. I said, hey, mom, listen, so because she's in her mid-60s. She had me when she was 35. I said, mom, you got probably 10, 15, 20 years left. Let's just be honest. And I said, why don't you just travel with me while I preach? She said, yes. So I'm like, we're going to see where this goes.
That's so awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're out right now. I mean, what you're doing, we found you on I think, Instagram, and we're hearing you preach the gospel and telling your story, which is, this is a very unique story. There's, you know, it's not even in the gay community. This is not the most, you know, this is not a common story, even in the gay community. So how is the LGBTQ community relating to you? Like they see you as an enemy or they're like, I understand it's a broad stroke, right?
Totally.
It's made up of hundreds of thousands of people. So they're obviously people are going to relate differently. Mm-hmm. But are you getting a bunch of pushback from what you're doing and sharing?
Yeah, I definitely have received some pushback, but it's interesting because what they typically want to point to is, well, you hate your moms or you hate this community. I go, well, do you not understand that for 18 years of my life, I literally lived in a household with two lesbians and every single one of their friends was a part of the LGBTQ community. So if you think that I hate that community, you're just wrong. It's just that simple. And what's really crazy is when I go home to be with my mom for her birthday or different occasions, she'll bring her friends and all her friends in the LGBTQ community. Some of them know what I do. I remember I was sitting at the table and one of her friends said, so tell me what you do. She had no clue, right?
No, no.
She has no clue. And I go, oh, I just travel America and preach Jesus full time. And she looks at me and she's kind of shocked and taken aback, like, can you say that again? I'm like, yeah, I travel America and I share Jesus. Another friend said this. He said, listen, Ross, I listen to your clips. I'm a gay man, but if I wasn't an atheist, I'd definitely be a Christian. I was like, I'm like, what does that mean? I don't fully know what that means, but I think it's good.
If I wasn't an atheist, I'd be a Christian.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I definitely receive pushback, but I've also seen that when I built heart connection with people and they see me as a real person, not a preacher, not revivalist, evangelist Ross. No, when they see me as Ross, who's a man who simply loves Jesus and loves his parents and loves his family, they're willing to at least have a conversation and they actually are willing to listen. And I'm just believing that the Holy Spirit's going to grip them.
Well, one thing that you have that I don't have is you have experience. Mm-hmm. Like no one can tell you, well, this is what it's like.
Yeah.
Or no one can tell you like, oh, well, having two moms or having two dads is healthy and normal because you grew up in that home, right? So you're kind of like, for the Lord, you're kind of a secret weapon in the Lord for not going after people in a way of condemning them, but actually saying, I'm the fruit of what happens when you actually don't follow the Lord in this area.
Yeah.
And I have the repercussions. I have the side effects of a lifestyle gone awry.
Totally. Yeah. Because I remember growing up, right? I never had this dialogue about pain or trauma because I didn't even know it existed. But then when you get saved and the Holy Spirit starts talking to you, starts convicting you, starts revealing things to you, you go, oh my gosh, Ross, I have a deep father wound. I have an orphan spirit. Though everything in the externally is going well, internally I'm broken. Yeah. Internally I'm empty. So I started to see these things when I gave my life to Jesus.
And have you met other women or men in your same situation? Like, do you know other people that have, you know, two moms or two dads and have this going on?
I've had a few people reach out to me on social media. Okay. I've never met anybody in person, but out of those few people that reached out to me, at least two of them have the similar story of mine and they're now Christians. And so when they reached out to me, they're like, how do you engage your family? How do you share the gospel with them? So obviously it's probably becoming a little bit more prevalent, especially as we see, for lack of a better term, the rise of the LGBTQ community. And we're starting to see this openness or more people. What is it? 1 in 4 Gen Zs is saying that they are a part of the LGBTQ community. It's a crazy number. It's a crazy stat. Number, so it's definitely probably going to be a story that we'll see more of, but it also gives me hope. When I don't have hope, sometimes I just have to remind myself of my own story and say, God, if you did it with me, you can do it with them.
So you call yourself a missionary to
California.
California. We need the help. Tell me what that looks like.
Well, 4 years ago, actually backtrack a little bit more than that. I get saved in 2016, sorry, 2012. College, I graduate college in 2016.
What college did you graduate?
I went to a small little school called San Diego Christian College. And I remember I graduated college and I said, oh my gosh, got to pay this thing called rent. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah.
It's this crazy thing. And so I'm like, I got to be a man. I have to learn how to make money because I have to support myself. So I'm living in San Diego. I start running a gym, doing personal training. And I'll just be really honest. I walked away from God. I didn't have the girlfriend I wanted, didn't have the car I wanted, didn't have the money I wanted. So I said, God, let's put you on a pause because I probably know what's best to figure out my life. Really bad decision. Fast forward 4 years later, 2020 comes. I'm in the worst moment of my life. Like literally hate my life. And I see what happens with the pandemic and everything happening on social media. And as soon as I saw that, Chris, you know what my first thought was? This was the moment I was created for. I knew that God had knit me together in my mother's womb to be a rowdy one, to get outside the four walls of the church, to get into the streets. And so I started coming alive in that season. Long story short, I met a friend. He's a worship leader. We said, you know what? What should we do? Let's do what the Bible says. That's a great idea. So we started showing up at beaches, parks, anywhere you could think of across California. We weren't trying to start a ministry. Never preached a day in my life. People were coming up to me, Ross, how long have you been a pastor? I said, 30 minutes. Ross, what church do you go to? I'm like, bro, I just started going back to church 6 months ago. And long story short, we named it California Will Be Saved. And so now we're traveling California full time doing these outdoor gatherings.
Well, we have a ministry. One of our guys, Tom, have you met Tom yet?
I have not.
America Will Be Saved. So he's got a bigger vision than you do. But I'm glad there's someone focusing on California. It's beautiful. And so you, like, what is your main message? I mean, obviously, main message is Jesus. I don't need you to explain that to me. But I mean, is the fact that you were born out of a homosexual relationship, is that becoming like your main theme? Are you talking about that a lot or... all I've seen you is on Instagram, so that's the only messages I've heard you preach, and basically just the message of salvation is the message I hear you carrying mostly.
Yeah.
What is it? What is the, like, what's your niche? Do you have a niche? Do you have a life story that you're carrying this life story into your preaching?
Yeah, my personal story definitely gets me in the door in a lot of places because people are like, tell us how in the world did you meet Jesus living in that lifestyle?
Exactly.
And then obviously from there, preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. But really, I think the message the Lord has given me for our generation is God is using and God is saving those who come from the most hopeless, godless, darkest situations. Isaiah 61.
Exactly.
Right? Those who used to be the captives, those who used to be the prisoners are now the ones rebuilding the ancient ruins. And so once again, if God can do it for me in a situation where I'd never been to church my whole life, never heard of a Chris Vallotton, never heard of a Bethel, I had zero grit for God. But Jesus not only met me, not only saved me, he pursued me. And so I want to share with people, I don't know your background. Maybe you have zero grit for God. Guess what? God looks at that and he goes, perfect for revival. And so that's the message that I want to carry to our generation. No matter your background, no matter your bank account, no matter where you come from, God knows you, he sees you, and he can use your life.
So good. Have you seen a lot of homosexual people come to Christ through your ministry?
There's two stories that stand out. Number one, I was with my amazing friend, Jenny Donnelly, last year, and there was this woman who was a transgender activist. We were in Portland, Oregon. Portland's known for this.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Of course.
Yeah. So there were some protesters there. This lady was living a transgender lifestyle. She was going to speak at a Pride festival the following day or the following week. She somehow gets into the gathering. I met this girl in person. She gets into the gathering. She says everything in her hated to be there, but she couldn't leave the building. What's crazy is I didn't know any of this was going on. That night, I got up and preached the gospel and I shared my testimony. She came forward and received Jesus. Now she's at Lifestyle Christianity 6 months later in Bible college. Radical story.
Todd White's church there.
Exactly. Second story that stands out, we were in downtown San Diego in the Gas Lamp on Halloween. That's also my birthday, Reformation Day. And I remember we're in the Gas Lamp. I preached the gospel and there's probably about, I don't know, 100-200 people there. And it's wild in Halloween down there. There's just costumes, just wild stuff going on. And I say, I preach the gospel. And I say, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come forward. This person comes forward. It was a transgender man. You could tell because he was dressed like a woman, but he was obviously a man. He comes forward. There's a clip that I posted. I give him this hug and he just starts bawling and weeping in the middle of the street.
Wow.
I heard some of the story later. He was walking by. This is what somebody told me. And they said he was walking by. He heard me preaching and he was kind of just like off. He wasn't really feeling it. But then when he heard my story, it caught his attention. He stayed for the whole time and was the first person to respond to the gospel.
Wow. Do you see... Okay, so we see that, as you point out, LGBTQ movement is growing. Mm-hmm. It's growing, especially in liberal states like ours.
Yeah.
Why do you think people choose that lifestyle?
I think people choose that lifestyle because every single one of us has a God void, and every single one of us has a seed of destiny in us from the moment we were born. And until we know our Father in heaven, we're fathered by culture. We're fathered by entertainment. We're fathered by music. And all those fathers are not the perfect father. And so I see in our generation, one of the main ways the enemy is trying to engulf our generation is take over our imago Dei, the image of God, our God-given destiny. And so I believe so many people, they choose this because they want to be a part of a community. They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They want to be, who doesn't want to be a part of a community that tells you, you're amazing. We love you for you. You're so awesome. Right? They're so encouraging. And so I think so many people go down that route because they've never experienced the true presence of Jesus or true community that's centered on the presence of God. And so therefore, why would they not go that route? Especially when every TV screen, every social media ad, every movie tells you that if you live this lifestyle, you're going to live your most fulfilled life. Right?
Yeah. Do you think that... the transgender movement is that kind of got added on really in the last, 10 years? I mean, really in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I wrote a book called Moral Revolution 20 years ago, I think was the first edition. And I wrote it's a book about sexuality for teens. I wrote one paragraph on homosexuality 20 years ago. You could never write a book about sexuality and not have chapters about homosexuality, transgender, the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So the culture is changing. It's embracing such a dysfunctional culture. How much of homosexuality do you think is inspired by the demonic?
I want to take it. I like to get to the root issue, right? Obviously, everything outside of God is rooted in the demonic, right?
Yeah, there you go.
But I see it from this perspective of if you look at our generation, our culture, especially in the last 50 to 70 years, we have made sex such an idol that it has become the greatest desire of our generation, right? And so I think when we start to idolize sex, what started as maybe I just want to hook up with as many people as possible, it's got twisted, tainted, and now it's taken all the way to these extremes. So for me, what I feel the attack is on is, yes, it's identity, but really it's the sexual identity. Because if you can get to the root of somebody's identity, which is one of the first commands God gave, be fruitful and multiply. So if he can twist one of the first commands that God ever gave, he can twist almost anything and everything. So I see from the perspective of if we can get back to the design of God and we can actually reestablish what that is, and that God's design is actually not here to control you, manipulate you. It's actually so that you can live the most joy-filled life, the most destiny-fulfilling life. If we can get back to that, I think that's how we get to the root of the issue, because God gave me this language, Chris. He said, when you talk about the LGBTQ community, they've heard the word sin. They've heard the word heaven and hell. They probably know the gospel, right? But when you use that word design, it makes them think, what do you mean design? What do you mean I have a specific way my body's supposed to function? What do you mean I have a specific purpose? When we start getting to the real hardcore issues and get out of the surface level, that's when I think we can really see transformation.
I'd like to ask you about what you would say to two different kinds of people. The first one is parents have a child, maybe a teenager, and probably it's a little different when they become an adult. But how would you counsel a parent in in, you know, in what do I do about my kid who wants to be gay?
Absolutely.
Or wants to be transgender? What, like, how would you answer their question? What advice would you give a parent?
I want to make it clear. I love the prophetic.
Yeah.
I love the presence of God. I love the glory. I love the swirl. Like, I want that all day long.
Yeah.
But I'm also a very practical person.
Yeah.
And so what I tell people is some things that I found that have been really transformative and powerful. Number one, take communion every day. Don't take communion as just some cracker and some grape juice. Plead it over your son. Plead it over your daughter. Oof, Jesus, good. I declare this body that right now in my child, their body is confused. They're feeling X, Y, and Z. I declare your broken body to make their body healed. Father, I declare right now in the name of Jesus, this blood that saved me and washed me, wash their mind right now. Purify their heart. Purify their mind. Take communion daily. Number two, I think we forget sometimes because sometimes as we're Christians, we just hear these things over and over and they just kind of become normal or we become apathetic. But let's actually pray. Right?
Totally.
The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Not a little, not some, not maybe. It availeth much. So I'm praying every single day. And I think the third thing is, are you actually willing to open your mouth and share the gospel? Because so many times people go, man, I want this person to be saved. And I go, have you ever shared the gospel with them? Oh, the Bible says, Romans 1:16, nope, it's the power of God to save those who believe.
Yep.
So if they haven't heard, how in the world can they believe? And if they haven't heard and they can't believe, then they can't be saved. So take communion, pray, and say, Holy Spirit, give me the right time to share the gospel with my family member, with my cousin, with my son, with my daughter, and be bold, because that seed is incorruptible.
Yeah. I remember my son, Jason, when he was about, I think he's around 14, you know, he'd come down their room bedrooms were upstairs, and for about 6 months he would come downstairs to get his clothes out of the dryer every morning, or you know, do something downstairs, and he would just be like moping around and just looking like shame, and I'm like, wonder what's going on. So you know, and I kept going, how you doing? I'm fine, Dad, leave me alone, you know, I'm fine, you know. And we raised, you know, four grandkids, we raised four teenagers, so we get it, right? We get like, you go through the stage where you're going through puberty and you got all these chemicals going on, right? So you're, so about, I think it's probably 4 or 5, maybe even 6 months. I said to Kathy, something's not right. Like this isn't like just puberty.
Wow.
This, something's not right. So I told her, I'm going to stay home from work this morning and I'm going to have a conversation with Jay. So he comes downstairs, his mopey, you know, become normal self, and he goes in the laundry room to get his clothes, and I walk in after him, and I close the door, and I go, dude, what's going on with you? And he goes, nothing, Dad, I'm good, I'm fine. I go, no, dude, what's going on with you? He goes, Dad, I'm fine. I said, well, I took the day off of work, and I actually love this laundry room. It's a nice laundry room, don't you think? And let me just say that you and I aren't going to leave this laundry room till you tell me what's in your eyes. Tell me what's in your eyes. And until you tell me what's in your eyes, we aren't leaving this room.
Wow.
And he kind of, you know, nothing, Dad. I told you I was fine. I said, good. Well, I don't believe that. And he blurted out, now you got to remember that this is a long time ago, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking 30 years ago, 35 years ago. We're living in the mountains. Dad, I'm a homosexual. Hmm. Now you got to know, the average person didn't know a homosexual in those days, right? If there was a homosexual, it probably was in the closet, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm trying to not laugh. You know, I was like, oh gosh, my kid thinks he's a homosexual. And I mean, nowadays I would not have that response, of course, mm-hmm. right? And I said, okay, well, why do you think you're homosexual? And he said, he didn't say it in these terms. I won't say it how exactly he said it, but he basically said, Dad, my friend, you know him, you know, we had oral sex. He didn't say oral sex, of course. And I said, so? What's that have to do with you being homosexual? He goes, well, I liked it. I said, oh, well, what's that have to do with you being homosexual? He said, well, if you like it, doesn't that mean you're homosexual? I said, well, if you masturbate with your hand, are you like a hand sexual? Are you like, are you in love with your hand? He goes, no. I said, well, then why would you be a homosexual? And he goes, oh, well, what am I then? I said, you're stupid. You know, as a kid, you know, yeah. Obviously I wouldn't disarm somebody by saying that, but I said, son, you're just stupid. Like all young people go through life and you're trying to find your way, and we all do stupid stuff. Like we just do stupid stuff because we're experimenting with our body, and he's like, oh, so I'm not homosexual. I said, no, son, you're just a young man trying to find your way. That's the last conversation we ever had about it. Never happened again. Here's my concern. If my son would have lived today and went to a school with pride flags and teachers and laws, my son may have spent a 10-year journey in trying to figure out that he wasn't gay.
Yeah.
But because he had a dad that confronted him and that said, son, you're not gay, you're just being dumb. Like, because you enjoyed doesn't mean that you're gay. We didn't use the word gay in those days. We didn't use the word gay. But I'm concerned about a generation that doesn't have a dad.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about a generation that's being told, if you have an attraction to a male, then if you're a male and you have attraction to a male, you're gay. Wow. When it ignores the Jonathan and David situations where I can be in love with another man. It doesn't make me, doesn't have anything to do with sex, right?
Yeah.
And this is a generation that you're speaking to. This is so powerful what you're, the message that you're carrying.
Yeah. I mean, I just think of it from the perspective of we have the power of life and death in the tongue, right? And when you match that with a lack of a father, my question is, what voice are you hearing? Exactly. We all hear voices.
Exactly.
But which voice are you empowering, right? And almost every major statistic, crime, rape, depression, you go down the list, what is it tied to? Fatherlessness.
Exactly.
And so I've almost been saying it like this. We live in one of the most fatherless generations. But in the midst of that tension, in the midst of the darkness, it also gives me the great hope, because we don't just have a good father. We don't have a, you know, a father who maybe just cares for us here and there. We have the perfect father.
Exactly.
So it's our role as men, as fathers, as the church, to represent the father to one of the most fatherless generations, that they may be whole and healed. And so that's what I'm believing for. I'm like, okay, God, how do we do this? We can do it with we can do it in our own house, which is great. That's our priority. But how do we get it outside the house?
So
how do we get it to those who aren't in the four walls of the church or the four walls of our house? How do we do that? And I think that's a question that I'm starting to go down. And so I agree with you. I'm like, God, raise up fathers in one of the most fatherless generations.
Yeah, and we have that Malachi 4 promise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last question.
Yes.
What's it mean to be a cultural catalyst? You just about answered the question right there, but I'm going to ask it directly. This is called cultural catalyst. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we get people on and say, how do you shift culture?
Yeah.
So we've talked about the challenge of it for 28 minutes.
Yeah.
How do you transform culture?
Yeah. For me, it's simple. It's the scripture in James. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer of the word. Many people have a lot of information, but they have zero application. Many people have great revelation, but they've never opened their mouth to share the revelation. So for me, the only difference between my life and somebody maybe watching or listening, and they're like, man, that Ross guy is burning for God. It's one simple word. Yes, I didn't have the right background. I didn't have the right bank account. I didn't have anything that I'm supposed to have. I had everything against me.
Exactly.
But God is so big and so good and so powerful that if you would just say yes and operate in faith, he can shift it all around in an instant. So you want to be a cultural catalyst? My question to you is, have you said yes or have you said no?
Well, okay. We got lots of people on here. I'd love for you to pray specifically for people who are struggling with same sexual attraction.
Yeah.
People maybe living that lifestyle. I mean, you have so much love for people like that.
Yeah, I do.
I would love for you to just pray for those folks right now, if you
will. Yeah, let's just pray. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. And I just declare over every person who has the same-sex attraction, has sexual trauma, sexual pain, or bondage, we just speak to all of that and we say, be washed by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And Lord, I declare your broken body, God, that you broke your body, that our body may be healed. Mm. And so, Father, I pray for anything happening in their natural body that's coming against the alignment and the will of heaven to be broken now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, the last thing I pray for is Holy Spirit, would you fill them with a fresh, a new, or the first time revelation of Jesus Christ? God, I thank you, Jesus, that you were fully God, but you were fully man, that you were tempted and tested at every point, and that you understand everything we could ever go through. So Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus, reveal what he went through, reveal what he did, and reveal that he overcame it. And we just declare these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Ross, thank you so much for being on.
Such an honor to be here.
We'll see you next week. What a powerful guest. I've never asked you to do this before, but you should share this video with other people because I really believe that this is supposed to go viral, that Ross's story is an amazing story. It's a story of loving, growing up in an LGBT community, still loving that community and still saying that community, we all equally need Jesus. So share this. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. For more resources and to stay connected, you can visit my website at chrisvallotton.com. God bless you.